Continuing with our little group that is with Kirpal touring, remember the story last night about the car. When I picked up this book in the introduction, the very first sentence, the very first words that I read struck me as very interesting way of looking at how this all came to be. So I just wanted to read that one sentence and then continue with the little story. There is only one truth, God absolute. When this power came into vibratory action, it emitted light and sound. This flaming sound was called the word, or the nam, or the conscious audible life stream. I never really thought about it as the power coming into vibratory action. Interesting way of putting it. So, our little group, this is at the end of their trip with Kirpal. They're in Amritsar, and they've been told they have to go back to Samhain Ashram. And they're sitting outside the car, and they're waiting to see the master for the last time. Our little group, rather worse for wear, once again stood in front of the cars in the street between the ashram wall and the mansion, waiting and wondering whether the Satguru would come out and bid us goodbye. Swen was blowing his nose, flaxen hair disheveled, deep blue eyes full of pain. Kim was shaking with fever. Michael was ravaged by bloody dysentery, being nauseous all the time. Bob looked haggard, his legs having developed more bruises and blisters from touring the shrine of the Sikhs. All Westerners had physically collapsed except the sportive conductor, Werder, and me, with the grace of the Satguru himself. In my soiled Indian shirt, I shifted from one foot to another, wondering what the fantastic secret behind practical spirituality was. Where lay the root of its solution? In the distance, we saw Maharaji as he unhurriedly moved towards us, and once again, with a thrill in our hearts, we beheld his noble gait, his glowing countenance, his royal bearing. We gazed at him, we watched him, we observed him and did not comprehend, as he remained to us a treasure, safely hidden within a secret vault. Quietly, the Superior One reviewed our battered group, just as a kind and concerned father would. Turning to me, he whispered sweetly, "The secret lies in attention." The brief darshan over, Master slowly walked towards the ashram building in the back of the yard, while Bob said humbly, "True indeed are the words of the Persian saint. The master's beyond comprehension, apprehension, conception, and even conjecture. He outstrips the faculties of sight, hearing, and understanding. And those who claim to understand him, they are surely the most foolish of men." True.
So I'd like to continue reading some excerpts from talks and messages that were published in Sant Bani magazine during that first year when many of us were discovering who Sanchi was and anticipating his arrival in the United States. This is Sanchi's message to Western disciples of Baba Kirpal Singh. So this is before he really did any initiations. And so it was predominantly initiates of Master Kirpal that were going to him.
Dear Satsangis, brothers and sisters, Master Kirpal has not left us. He is always with us and protecting us in every aspect of our life. Master never disappears from this world. He never dies. He is eternal. His soul is deathless. He leaves only his physical body, but his presence is still to be felt. And we should love each other in order to carry out the teachings of our Master. Meditation will bring peace to our soul. And if our soul is at rest and at peace,
then only will we love each other. Meditation will bring peace to our soul, and if our soul is at rest and at peace, then only will we love each other. All satsangis are related to one another by the ties of brotherhood and sisterhood, so we should respect and love each other. Master Kripal has left a message of love for us. It is our duty to take care of his message and to follow his teachings. So if we criticize or talk ill of anybody, it is our great loss. Our master used to say that if we criticize others, all the sins become ours and all the good deeds become theirs. The one who finds fault with others always loses. So we should never do it. Guru Nanak also says that by criticizing others, we make our tongue, mouth, and mind dirty. By finding fault with anyone, we are making our way to hell. And Baba Sawan Singh also told me the same thing, that there is no taste in speaking ill of others. He said that there is taste or pleasure in some of the sense enjoyments, but where is the pleasure in finding fault? So, dear brothers and sisters, I request you not to criticize any satsangi or any other person, because when anyone is initiated by the master takes his seat within that disciple. So if you criticize or abuse any disciple, then it is the same as if you were abusing the master. So I request you not to find fault with anybody, to put in more time for meditation and to bhajan and simran. It will be very good for your life. And our master told us to leave 100 urgent works to attend satsang and 1,000 urgent works for meditation. I request you to put in more time for your meditation, to attend satsang, and not to criticize anybody. Criticism will not help your meditation. It is the ones who are not meditating, they are the ones who are abusing others. So be careful that you are not criticizing and speaking ill or abusing, and that you are putting in more time for meditation. I hope you have followed what I have said. Das Ajaib Singh. That is from the very first page of the very first issue of Sampani magazine. And this is from the second issue. And it is Sanchi's message of love. These are the first two messages that he sent. Of course, there were accounts that were given by others, but these were the first two written things that we received from him. Dear brothers and sisters in the West, I send you namaste and love. Previously, I also sent a message in the form of a tape recording, and it was that all brothers and sisters should be one and should meditate. Our Satguru Maharaj Kripal Singh Ji came into this world with a message of love, and he taught us to love. And even now, we should work according to this message and these teachings. Everybody should have love for all. Everybody should meditate. We can see him and receive his love even now if we go inside. He is all-pervading. He is residing in everybody. So unless we have more and more love for him and a very keen desire to meet him, we cannot go in and see him. How can one love God if he or she is not loving his creation? One saint says, when a disciple meets a fellow disciple, both are happy and both bow down at each other's feet. This only is the path of bhaktis or devotees, and this only is the true discipleship. But the path is very sharp and smaller than even the size of a hair. The guru will not manifest where disciples do not respect each other. Saints say that the guru will never be with those who do not have love and respect. So all the Gurubhais, brothers and sisters in the Master, should love each other. And whenever they meet any initiate of our Master Kripal, we should be very happy to see him and understand him as our brother. If we are treating others badly, Master will never help us, and he will never manifest within us, because our Satguru has taught us only how to love. Our Master Kripal brought many communities and religions together on one level, on one platform. So can't we, brothers and sisters, all sit together? Why are we lacking in this? It is simply because we are not doing meditation and that we have forgotten the Master's message. Even now, those who are meditating are accepting the Master's message and his will, and they see him. And what is that message? First of all, to know thyself. We can know ourselves only when we rise above the influence of the mind and Maya. Then only will we realize ourselves and who we are. We are one ray of God. We can know ourselves only when we rise above the influence of mind and Maya. Then only will we realize ourselves who we are. We are one ray of God. Our soul is the essence of the Oversoul. And when we experience this within us, that we are all souls and of the essence of the Oversoul, we see soul in everybody, and we love everybody, understanding him as a soul and not as a body. It doesn't matter whether he is good or bad in nature. We have to love him, knowing that he is soul and of the essence of the Oversoul, and that Master Kripal is sitting in him. So it has come, in my experience, about Master Kripal that he is the owner of all of creation, that he is all-pervading. In the water there is Kripal, on the earth there is Kripal. It was Kripal, it will be Kripal. It is Kripal, here is Kripal, there is also Kripal. That Kripal who gave salvation to the soul, that Kripal who was united with our long-separated God, and even now, who is all-pervading. Those who are meditating can go and meet him even today. Obviously, the same thing could be said about Sanchi in that last paragraph and in this paragraph also. Those who are meditating can go and meet him even today. And that Kripal was never born, he never died, and he was never in the cycle of birth and death. As long as there was God's will, he worked while staying in the body, and only with God's will he left the body. He comes in the body with God's will and leaves it with God's will. He disappears for those who are not doing meditation, but he never disappears for those who are doing meditation, who are contacting him within. So why do I always praise the Master? And why am I so grateful to him?
Consider that one man has lost some gold and somebody else helps him to get it back, with which he makes many buildings and does other things. Whom do you think he will thank? Would he thank the gold or the man who helped him get back this gold? Well, in the same way, Master Kripal Singh Ji united us back with long separated God. So I am always grateful to him that he is the one who united me and us with our long separated God who is residing within. That is the reason why I am always grateful to him. He is the King of Kings. He is the donor. He is full of mercy. He came down to be kind, to protect us, to love us. Even now, he is showering mercy and blessings and grace while residing in Sachkhand. He is merciful to everybody, and there is no difference. He is above the pairs of opposites. So we should try to become beggars for his mercy and his blessings, and we should become claimants of his mercy and blessings. How can we do that? We can do that when we obey him, when we work according to his message and teachings, and when we do the practices regularly which he taught us when we were initiated. Azur used to say to leave 100 urgent works for attending satsang and 1,000 urgent works for meditating. He used to say that our body needs food in order to work properly. And in the same way, our soul, which is hungry from ages and ages, also needs food. And meditation is the food of our soul. He used to say that unless you give food to your soul first, do not give food to your body. First of all, it is meditation. Miss the worldly affairs, but never miss the meditation. So meditation is a necessity. It is the first thing, and it is the most important thing. If we will not meditate, we will forget the message and the teachings of the Master, and we will be divided into parties. We will forget meditations. We will forget the Master's theme. And then lust and anger, greed, attachment, egoism, the five dacoits, will conquer us. Swamiji says that those who are not meditating, they are the ones who are suffering. Sleep and laziness troubles them, and they fall in the illusions. What is the great illusion? The great illusion is that we see according to our own level. That this is my community, this is my religion, that I am a learned man, I am intelligent, etc. We see that as the reality, but the saints see the world according to the other level, and they warn us that nothing will accompany us. Nothing will accompany us after we die. Not our wealth, our health, sons, daughters. No skill will accompany you, not your intelligence. Nothing will go with you. The only thing which will accompany you and help you is God, Satguru. He is the one who has initiated you and has taken responsibility for you, and whom we are not loving today. So saints say that if you will not meditate, then these things will put pressure on you. Because lust, anger, greed, attachment, and egoism, they all lie within. Nothing comes from the outside. If we manifest the nam within us, then where there is nam, there will be no calm. Calm means lust. Where there is lust, you cannot manifest the nam within. As day and night cannot exist at one time and in one place, similarly, Nam and Kam cannot exist at one time and in one place. When the eagle of love comes, there is no place for the small birds of sins. So everybody has to meditate. Meditation is the first thing. When we will meditate, love will be manifested automatically within us. When we meditate, love will be manifested automatically within us. And if love is manifested within us, since God is the form of love, God is manifested within us. Guru Gobind Singh said, "I am telling you a true thing, a true formula. Listen very carefully. Only those who love God can know God." So the first thing is meditation, and the second thing is love for all. If we will meditate, love will start manifesting in us. Meditation and love go side by side. So as I told you first, when a disciple meets a fellow disciple, both should be happy seeing each other and be respectful and have love. And they should understand each other better than themselves. That only is bhakti or devotion. But the path of devotion is sharper than a razor's edge. We have to prepare ourselves to walk on that path. And moreover, that path is thinner than the thickness of a hair. So we have to walk on that. We are supposed to walk on that. We have to prepare ourselves. When disciples do not have respect and love for fellow disciples, the guru cannot come. So the five dacoits will find no place where the guru's love is there. There will be no party, no propaganda. There will be no other evil things. So we have to do the meditation that our master has taught us. We should be responsible for our own selves. We should remember that our Satguru has told us to meditate. And we should meditate. But generally, what do? We don't meditate. We start finding fault, commenting on others, abusing others. We do not save our own house, which is being burnt by the fire of lust, anger, greed, and attachment, and egoism. But we are carrying water for others. So Kabir says that those who do not meditate but teach others will get sand in their mouths. One who is not worried about his own farm, but is only concerned about others' courtyards, what will happen to him? His farm will be destroyed. So, what do we have to do? We should think as to whether we are protecting ourselves from all these bad deeds. Are we being looted by them? Are we protecting ourselves from them? Because the power of destruction is residing within us, and so is the power of survival. Badness is within us, so is goodness. We have to select the path, either good or bad. If we want to meet the Satguru within, we have to choose the good path. I'm going to stop there, but that talk actually goes on for about 3 more pages. But I wanted to read a few excerpts from some accounts of being with Sanchi. There's many of them in this volume. So with those words in our hearts and minds, we went to see Sanchi, many initiates. And this is This is a very brief excerpt from a question and answer session. The question was, there is a picture of you with Kripal in the first issue of Sampani magazine. Is that the only picture that you have? Sanchi replies, at that time in Rajasthan, we were not very fond of having photos. We didn't have any arrangements for taking pictures or making movies. Otherwise, we would have made movies when I was having satsang sitting with Hazur. You can see what arrangements we have here. And this is when, of course, there was no electricity and the satsangs in the evening were with the gas lanterns. You have to go 10 miles to get anything. And in the town of Gaj Singhpur, only in the past year, a photographer opened a shop there. Before that, nobody was doing anything like that. In the town of Raisingnagar, a photographer started only 6 months ago. And when we sent the photos that people would send from the States to the town to get them framed, people there would stare at those photos for many hours in amazement. How did they get this very beautiful picture? Previously, I told you that once in the Red Fort in Delhi, there was one Rajasthani lady, and a Westerner tried to take her picture, but she covered her face. You saw yesterday two girls came here. They were also afraid that you would take their photo. But we told the villagers that pictures were only for remembrance, that we are doing this and we are sitting there so that has inspired them to allow you to take pictures. The question is it only for that purpose, for remembrance? Sanchi replies, yes, when Kent came here and we went to 22 PS, to that place of the retired police inspector, he himself had arranged for photographs for the sake of remembrance that Master has come. Now I think that through looking at that, these people will also become fond of photography. But this area is very backward. Here people are illiterate. There's no comparison with you. Now also in the villages, the radios and the loudspeakers, even the records and record players, people are not happy in playing radios and records. They don't like them. In the state of Punjab, you have to give a fine. You have to pay a penalty if you play records. In Rajasthan also, in many big villages, the same thing is true. You have to pay a fine if you play a record. Only for the reason the thoughts of the people of this place are very pure. Because your mind is filled with records and with TV and many other things. But the people living here, their minds are empty of all these things. So they have pure thoughts. And I think also that this thing will be spread all over India in time. Because now in Delhi, of course, there is TV. And in Rajasthan now, the people are not believing in television. One man will say there is a radio in which you can see a picture along with the voice. You can see a picture. And the others, they say, well, we don't believe this. He will say, you are telling lies. This can never happen. And I think for satsangis, it is not good that all these things should spread. I think if a satsangi goes within and sees the television and sees the picture within, then that is good for him. Unless he gives up the pictures of the world, he cannot see the picture inside. To advance in Satmat, even the graduate, the scholar, has to become like a child of 5 years old. Bookish knowledge can give you information of outward things. If any person who has earned his meditation has bookish knowledge, then it is like a garland of flowers on his head. But to go within, no book will help you. To go within, you are to develop Satguru in your heart. As the saints say, you have sung so many scriptures, you have read so many books on the outward things, but now read the book of your own soul. So when I went to Delhi, many people came to me saying that I have written this book, I have read many books. Everybody was giving examples from various books, but nobody was giving his experience or the example from within his own self. And at that time, I would advise them lovingly that if you have any experience of yourself, then tell me that. And now also I say the same thing. Generally, I ask, have you ever pleased your master who is residing within you? Now I am asking everybody, have you ever pleased Master Kripal Singh, who is residing within? That Guru, God, came into the form of Kripal, and he gave out the grace with both hands, but we never thanked him. God came in the form of Kripal and in the man body to explain to us, to give us the blessings and the grace. An excerpt from a personal account. A short time after we got ourselves settled, we went up to see him in his room. And that was the most important part of our stay, up in his room, having his darshan. We sat on the floor. He gave us some beautiful handmade cushions to sit on to make ourselves comfortable. And we sat and looked at him. And as soon as he turned around and looked at me, I said to myself, "Oh, Master, it's so nice to see you again." I felt that so very strongly in my heart, so very, very strongly. It was so nice to see Master again. It's been such a long time. So he was very gracious. He just looked at everybody and smiled. He chuckled. And of course, everything was translated. We were just so happy. We didn't have much to say. And every time we looked at Sanchi, he was so very beautiful. I was very blessed the first few darshans because I sat right up close and he looked at me intensely for a long time. I felt terrific because he was looking at me so much. Then I said, "This is not fair. I should sit in the back." So next time I sat in the back. But he kept looking at me in the back. It was so beautiful. So we had a lot of things to talk about, and a lot of things were recorded, a lot of things were photographed. He made some very strong points. Those points were about the purpose of our trip there, and the purpose of our trip was obviously to learn to love the God within, to remember him while we meditate, to learn to meditate more seriously, to give up the world. We can't take it with us. He made a very strong point of that. After meditation, we went for a beautiful walk. It was our first walk with him. There was so much beauty. He gave an impromptu talk along the way. He said that one gardener plants the seeds and another is given the care of the plants as they grow. And at that point, the thought of master and successor became so clear to me. That made me feel so good. I've wasted many years in selfishness, in idle pursuits, and now, although that time has gone, there is the future. And I feel great hope that for the first time in a long, long time, that it can be done, and that it will be done. For our gracious Hazur, in all his unbounding love and wisdom, has given us one who is the embodiment of simplicity and compassion and love. All these well from him in such vastness. There are so many things to write about, so many beautiful little experiences. It seems to be flowing all around us, more and more with each passing day. It is painful to think about leaving. We have 6 days to go. On one walk, he said that those from the U.S. were the first to come, that they had a claim on him. And now that the Italians, there were three Italians in this group, and this is actually the group I was in, and this is actually something I wrote. This is an excerpt from something I wrote. The Italians had come and put a claim on him. Also, there was a girl who had a private talk with him earlier, and she had apparently voiced to him the same frustration that I felt, that due to the largest of the group, approximately 20, that we would all be receiving less individual attention. And so, referring to that, he said to her that thanks to the group from Italy, all the conversation had to be translated twice, both first to English by Papu, then into Italian by Sirio. And that, as a result, he was having to spend much more time with us than normal, and that everything was taking longer, and that he thought she would not be minding this. And we were all laughing and being so happy. He said, you know the cuckoo bird. Yes, it takes a cuckoo bird to know a cuckoo bird. And although the crow may look similar, he will never know the cuckoo. The whole walk was like that. At one point, he had put his arm around Dr. Molina and the other arm around Pathaji. There was a very beautiful story how Pathaji sought him out at the very beginning, and it was a very beautiful picture, both of them standing there with Sanchi. The night before, he had said that Pathaji was the first to find him on the outside and that Dr. Molina was the first to find him on the inside. Then he said that Dr. Molina, that he was not a new companion and that he had been with him for many births. It was also amazing. There was another lighthearted time having to do with the movie camera. Two of the Italians were taking Super 8 movies, and he was so accepting and tolerant. They were doing these big zoom shots and all kinds of things like that. He would be so amused and jolly. The minute you point a camera at him, he would start smiling. The more serious we would be fiddling with the controls of the camera, the more he would laugh. I had a camera, and I was jumping around trying to get a good angle. And the more I did that, the more amused he would be. It was as if I was playing with this little toy, and he was so pleased to be able to share in my enjoyment. And so he'd just smile at us. And the more he'd smile, the more frantic we would all come to get a good picture, a good shot, running here and there. shifting between people. And he would just laugh and laugh.
I had one announcement.
I just have one announcement. Right after breakfast, we're going to do our yearly photograph. Now, outside, down by the pier down there, in front of the lodge, if we can gather, I will remind you after breakfast that we can all go down there, and later on tonight you'll get that photo to take home. Some of you don't know, we do this every year, and when Sanchi was in the body, we'd send the picture to him every year. And in the meditation hall in India, he had them all up on the wall from year to year. They'd all be there to view. It was quite neat to see that. All right.